Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go. When I look to the sky, something tells me you're here with me. And you make everything
welcome to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. Tonight's show is our monthly edition of The Gathering, and it's a discussion show. We welcome your calls. You can reach us at 1-888-815-9756. Tonight's sponsor is
L&R Productions.
You can find them at lnrproductions.com. And your hosts for the evening will be Tom and Melissa Gould.
Hello, Bob.
Hello there. I'm Bob Ginsburg. Hello. And we have Fran. And Tom was a little bit hairy.
Let's get off the plane.
Well, that's good that the plane was on time.
Oh, this plane.
Oh. Well, that's a good time to get off.
We are doing the show tonight, you know, with some heavy hearts. You know, the passing in 1 week of within the same week of Tom's mom, Madge, and Melissa's dad,
Jim,
who I never had the pleasure to meet, but of course Madge was we loved very much, and she not only came to all our functions, but
she will continue
and was a regular listener, and I hope she's still listening tonight.
Oh,
sure,
she better
she is.
Be.
Hi, Mom. We've been around. We've seen her today.
Haven't missed the show yet.
Right. So you know, before you know, tonight's show is going to be an interesting topic, one that a lot of people have many different opinions on, and that's reincarnation. And, you know, do we all reincarnate? Do we have a choice to reincarnate? And we're going to explore all those topics. But before we do, let's go over some of the announcements, and we'll get right into it.
All right. With these hard economic times upon us, some of our supporters write to say they love the radio show. They want to see it continue. They love the work of Forever Family Foundation, but they just don't have extra dollars these days to send our way. Even though we are a 100% volunteer, not-for-profit organization, it still takes a lot of money to do the work we do. And yet, we want to do so much more. So this is how everybody can help without sending us money. Go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that is taken out. And each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. But you don't have to stop there. If your shopping takes you to the internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com. But first, use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website. And again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find your items in one of their 800-plus online stores, sites, hotels, and other things, the list goes on, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few minutes when you shop to show us that you care. And coming up is our Holidays Past raffle. You can win a medium reading, be one of five lucky winners to get a reading with either Bobby Allison, Angelina Diana, Rebecca Ann Lo Cicero, Laura Lynn Jackson, or Kathy Toll, or all of them, because with one entry, you're in there until all five winners are picked. It's $5 a chance. You got to be in it. Okay, and we have this year Holidays Past, Reunite with Lost Loved Ones. We have it in three locations. The first one up is on December 4th at the Best Best Western Berkshire Inn in Bethel, Connecticut, with Angelina Diana and afterlife advocate Dave Kane. Then we move on to New Jersey with Janet Nohavik on December 11th at the Iselin, the Hilton Woodbridge at Iselin, New Jersey. And finally, on December 18th at the Melville Marriott, we have, again, Angelina Diana. And those are my announcements for today.
And, of course, if you haven't made arrangements for the annual conference in Fort Myers, Florida, that's going to be held on November 13th and 14th, visit the fervorfamilyfoundation.org website, and you'll find all the information on that. And, you know, before we go to break, I mean, I guess just as a little tease, with the subject of reincarnation, do you think that you could believe in an afterlife without believing in reincarnation, or does it go hand in hand?
I think you can have one without the other, although I happen to believe in both of them.
Yeah.
I do, too.
I agree. I don't think you can believe in physics and not believe in reincarnation, but that's something we'll talk about after the break.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think, that's an interesting subject. I have my own thoughts on that, about whether or not you can believe in one without the other. So why don't we go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to get into our discussion of reincarnation. Do we all do it? Stay with us.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At L&R Productions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. L&R Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.lndrproductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At L&R Productions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. L&R Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.lndrproductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Did you know that there is an abundance of scientific evidence from well-credentialed scientists suggesting an afterlife? You now have an opportunity to learn about this evidence firsthand at Forever Family Foundation's conference in Fort Myers, Florida, November 13th and 14th. If you have suffered the loss of a loved one, or are simply curious about what happens after we die, don't miss this chance to see scientists and certified mediums share their knowledge and insights in lectures, workshops, and demonstrations, including small group medium readings. Call 631-425-7707 or visit foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to Signs of Life Radio, and the number here is 1-888-815-9756. This is The Gathering, and you're talking with Tom, Melissa, Bob, and Fran. On the subject of reincarnation, well, first, I guess a lot of people believe that, you know, that we're born, and then we die, and then we're reborn again. And, you know, we've talked about the scientific aspect of that, of the work that's done, like Ian Stevenson and others that followed him, where, you know, children talk about memories of past lives that are investigated, and, you know, it's hard to come up with other, you know, explanations. But most of the information, other than the scientific, and, you know, there's a lot of spiritual information that comes in the form of people that have ethereal experiences or channel mediumship readings and things of that nature. So, you know, we started off by asking if do you think that there has to be reincarnation to believe in an afterlife? You know, I really, with reincarnation, I'm certainly dazzled a bit by the evidence, but I could also open to a scenario where the Earth, but it could be many different, you know, planets, are the starting point at the very base level, and you know, at this dense physical realm, and then maybe in spirit feels no need to come back because there's just constant growth in all of these other realms that they visit. I know there's a lot of other arguments to that, but can you see that as a scenario? You don't buy it.
I do see that as a scenario. I definitely see the point being that you don't have to come back. I think that you come back by choice for whatever reason, whether it's just to have the fun of the sensual world or if it's to hone your soul in some kind of way by your act. Activities and actions and deeds down here. I believe that, as I mentioned before the break, that physics, the first law of physics is energy cannot be created or destroyed. So the energy that you are when you're born came from somewhere. It didn't originate with your birth. So whether you were on this planet before, or you were in some other realm, you were somewhere before. And so, in a sense, everybody who's living on the planet today is somewhat reincarnated. You know, to say reincarnated suggests that they were here before and are repeating a life. I don't necessarily mean that, but I do think that our energy comes from somewhere. It lives here for a while, and then it goes somewhere else afterwards.
Right.
That makes me wonder, when we talk about people being old souls versus someone this evening who talked about being a very young soul. So do you think when we talk about old souls, those are people who have had many lives and keep getting reincarnated?
Sure, I would think that that's where that expression comes from.
I think on one level,
I agree with that. But on the other level, I think that there's a contingency to that, that when they incarnated, they actually did something to enlighten themselves more. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, we could get back into that whole big debate, but mediums like to call this a school. It drives me nuts.
Mm.
It's not, I don't look at it as a school. I think from what I've read and what I'm learning, it's an experience. Like you said before, Tom, it's a place to experience the physical world where time and space exist. Outside of this, time and space don't exist. And so everything's happening at the same time. How do you experience something if everything's happening at the same time? Well, you incarnate. And that's how you can do it. So if you leave this world a little better place, now you've grown. Now when you reincarnate, you're an older soul, or the soul is growing. That's the way I like to say it.
And that's the biggest question is, you know, why do we reincarnate? And the answer given mostly is because of karma. You know, we accumulate good and bad karma. And if you, good deeds... and good karma lead to a favorable rebirth, and bad deeds, lead to an unfavorable. But that's the, all the people that are suffering today, when we pick up a newspaper and we all see all the suffering that's going on in the world, are all these people working off bad karma? Was this their choice, maybe with the help of others, you know, spirit guides or, you know, whatever we want to call these other entities, that help them make the decision to come back in a physically challenged, atmosphere to work off that bad karma and ultimately lead to many other births that are more favorable and more, maybe even say more enjoyable, or perhaps no need to come back at all. So, I mean, I guess it's all tied into karma. Why else would you come back?
Or not. I mean, in the set materials, mm-hmm. There is no bad karma. There's only karma. So,
right.
And if by what Tom and I are saying, that you're coming here for an experience, the experience is what you need to grow. So there are examples where, and we're going back to soul groups and stuff like that, where in a previous life, somebody who was crippled is now the caretaker of somebody who's crippled so that they can experience what it was like from the other point of view.
Right. Maybe we want to take a call and see what our listeners think. We have on the line.
We have Rosa from California.
Rosa?
Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Just listening to, I am fine. Thank you for taking my call. I was just listening to what you were saying. My question, I guess, is the same question that we all ask, which is, all right, is it a voluntary situation or is it something that everybody has to go through? And as I listen to you, it is difficult for me to think that we're here just to learn, because you know, obviously a lot of people don't learn from their mistakes.
<Right.
laughs> So it's like, you know, you can't have it both ways. If we were here to learn, there would be probably 90% good on Earth and only about 10% mediocre or bad. So... it's hard for me to accept.
Yeah.
But as far as being a voluntary situation, think about it. Don't you think that it seems that a lot of groups of people come like at the same time? Like in the last 20 years, there have been people that have worked on high tech that there was another era when there were great writers, and I don't mean that there aren't great writers today. I mean it's like kind of like on a block, as if I'm gonna come down and I talk to everybody and they say, oh yeah, let's go. And there is scientists in one batch, and then writers and composers, and because they seem to be like that. So if that's the case, well, we're not here just to learn. We just experienced life, we go away, and I don't know. Now you tell me what you think.
Well,
other than what you said before.
I like what you said about the groups, and I've, from what I've read, that yes, there are, when your soul passes, that you do congregate into groups of like spirited spirit, and that the very possible that these spirits can get together and say, let's all go back to Earth and see what we can do good wise. I think I know for a fact that Fran does not like the idea that we're here to learn and that this is a school and this is, you know, there'll be quizzes and all that sort of thing. I tend to follow her on that too. I feel that we are, a lot of us are here for vacation, that we come to this.
Well, I'm glad I have good company, because I don't think I'm going to die and they're going to, you know, present me with this tablet where they're all, you know, all the wrong things I've done,
right.
In all the good things, and then they're going to say, aha, you got to go back and, you know, do this or do that.
A point that Bob brought up before when he was talking about good karma, bad karma, and that the bad things happen to people, I think it's not necessarily good or bad, but from the old expressions, that which doesn't kill me only makes me stronger. So people come back and they say, "Let you know, okay, I'm going to sign up for a hard life because when I get through with it, I'm going to be a stronger soul." And so rather than say learning experience, it's, and a friend even used the words, it's a growth experience. And then the harder the life you have, the more growth your soul can enjoy from this.
You know, an interesting concept, and I know one that's shared by Michael Newton, you know, who questions, you know, why we all have this amnesia. You know, if we come back to grow and to better ourselves, you know, why do we have no memories of, you know, what we did wrong? I mean, how do you learn without knowing what you did wrong? And I know he posits a theory that, well, perhaps the times are changing, you know, where spirit is realizing that the old ways of doing things maybe is not working. And it's, if you look at the state of the world today, and we're sort of loosening the barriers between the spirit world and the physical world. So now you find more people, whether it's through mediumship or meditation or near-death experience and out-of-bodies, that are catching more of these glimpses that they weren't in past time. So that's the concept as well.
Well, you know, as far as not having complete memory of another life, think about it. If you were to remember, I don't care how old you are, 30, 40, 50, 60, any age, if you were to remember every single detail of your life, you would go crazy.
That's true.
We remember when we go back is, you know, like little episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't remember, I mean, maybe under hypnosis, I don't know, but in real life, when we talked about our childhood, we probably can talk about 10, 15 incidents of our childhood. Mm-hmm. If we could remember everything, 100%, I think our brains would explode. We couldn't possibly handle that.
I think that's exactly right. I think that, yeah.
So when you think about having a whole other life in your head plus the life you're living now, I mean, that wouldn't work.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I believe that the fact that we don't remember our past lives is that the vessel that we're in now doesn't have the capabilities to do those things. Yeah. You know, our bodies, and we certainly know that our bodies are extremely limited, especially as we get older, and our minds are as well. And again, there's science says we only use 10% of our mind, so there's a 90% of our brain that probably could do all these things you say, but that we just can't access them, and it's something that hopefully evolution will kick in, and maybe future generations will be able to blur the line between the spirit and the physical.
Right. Well, Rosa, thanks so much for calling. Well,
thank you very much for taking my call. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, take care. Have a good evening.
Great caller.
Yeah. You know the it's interesting on that subject of you know, your mind would explode if you remember everything, and if you think about it, if we're composites of maybe who knows, you know,
yeah,
hundreds of different lives, could imagine, you know, now maybe with each life, you know, we take just a little bit you know, with us that we may not, you know, consciously remember, but subconsciously, you know, we do, and maybe that's how we learn to grow. You know, it's not anything direct, but it's some sort of intuitive feeling.
I know that Tom and I are ready to grill our new granddaughter the moment she can talk. What do you remember? Where did you live?
Right.
Well, we have been told that she's going to start telling us things about the time she turns 3, so we're prepared to listen.
Get the state-of-the-art tape recorder going.
She looks very wise. She has some very wise expressions right now, so we can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, what about turning being reincarnated as, say, a tree or a rock? I mean, do you subscribe to that?
Well, you know, if we believe that we're all connected, I mean, I guess you can be reincarnated to anything that's conscious, but we can't define what's conscious. So
well,
maybe not.
I mean, why are you drawing that conclusion?
Right.
I mean, maybe there are things that have different types of souls or different types of consciousness.
You referred to the Seth books before. And that's directly from the Seth books that he says, yes, some souls choose to come back, and that's back to my thought that this is a vacation land and not a schoolroom, and some people want to just rest and relax in their vacation, and they come back as a tree, and they sit in the forest, and they let the wind blow through their leaves, and they just enjoy it for, you know, a couple of hundred years. Which seems like, wow, you could just sit there in a woods for a couple of hundred years. But if you put this in context of the eternal soul, a couple of hundred years is a blink of the eye. So, yeah, if you need a little rest, go back as a tree. Go back as a rock.
But not in a development, because they'll cut you down.
What I can't fathom, though, is why we would only reincarnate on Earth. I mean, logically, there has to be, you know, there could be millions of other Earths out there. You know, so why? And it's been, people have talked about sometimes in this, you know, life between lives, when you're growing and you're learning and you're deciding, you know, on what to do next, I guess. Some people do say that they choose to incarnate into other planets.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that.
I mean, it's hard for me to believe that the Earth is the center of the universe, but yet that's what we all think, you know.
Well, I would like to hear somebody come back and tell one of us, not one of us, but somebody, about that experience. So when you perhaps use the services of a medium to connect.
Well, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? For all the years we've been working with mediums, nobody's come up with that concept.
That's pretty fascinating.
And of all the books that we've read, I've never read anything with that concept in it.
And then spirit rarely, if ever, goes through a medium, talks about, you know, reincarnation. You know, I mean, it's all about, you know, evidence, you know, that they still exist. You know, channel reports, you know, talk about, you know, reincarnation. But,
right, but even if you talk to people who have had past life regression, you never hear them say, well, I was an alien,
right,
or I was a tree, or, you know, so.
Yeah, well, I guess you do, you know, occasionally you read stuff like that. But that, you mentioned past life regression, I mean, that's the one method that we have to unlock the memories, you know, open the floodgates, so to speak, whether you subscribe to it or not. There have been many books written about it. The most popular one was, you know, Brian Weiss, and then, you know, many after him. And people start going back and they get taken back further and further and further. I just don't know what to think of it. I'm certainly open to it, but
my thought about past life regression and the people who profess to take your money to do it for you is very much like mediumship. There are people who really know what they're doing, really can get your mind to go where it needs to go, and then there are those people that just set up shop, and maybe it's hypnosis that they're trying, and maybe 2% succeeds or whatever it is. I think it's kind of like mediumship. It's 8 million people hanging out shingles that they're mediums, they're mediums, they're mediums. And, you know, you walk in there and they turn out to be a psychic, or they're just not developed enough, or totally fraud. You know, and I think the same thing happens with all these other wonderful ways of connecting with the other side, be it past life regression or induced after-death communications and all those other.
Yeah, and it's also amazing how many, when you think about the billions of and billions of people throughout history, how a very, very large percentage of people report being somebody famous.
Yeah.
I mean, how many, you know, statistically, it's really improbable. You know?
Right.
You know? Yeah. But everybody seems to be either somebody from film or art or, you know, or music. And, you know, so I think our conscious hopes and cultural upbringing has something to do with the process. You know?
Or they're using simple hypnosis, and hypnosis is really just another form of a dream state.
Yeah.
When you dream those crazy things. You know,
suggestion. Hypnosis is suggestion in a lot of ways, and so it's not really opening a door, but just describing a door and imagining that you're walking through it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of these reports, we were talking earlier about whether everybody, you know, reincarnates, and the consensus is that, you know, that, as you mentioned, Tom, that you don't have to come back. It's a decision. If you want to, just like you have people here that skate through life, you could skate through the afterlife. You know, I'm not interested in personal growth or any more experience. I'm just going to hang out, you know, and maybe they don't reincarnate, and they have maybe, you know, at least for a certain amount of time as we know it, but maybe they hang out for 100,000 years and they come back.
I think we would have said so if we'd experienced it, but does any one of us feel that we recall or feel like we did have a previous life?
I never have, but a few times in college when I was inebriated, but I never really had that feeling, but a lot of people do. I don't know, how about you, Tom? Do you ever feel it?
I don't know if it's a feeling, but I sort of, maybe, I guess it is a feeling, but I've felt at times that I was in a previous life, as you just pointed out, somebody famous and successful, you know, in some, particularly in music. In
I was going to say he was a rock star.
Exactly. And in this life, I came back to experience not being famous.
Uh-huh.
And yet, because I have a lot of the same mindset of people who have been famous. I write songs, I perform songs, I'm very comfortable on stage. You know, it doesn't matter if there's 100 people, 1,000 people, I just love being on stage. I've gotten good reviews for the songs I've written and the things I've recorded, and yet I'm not world famous. And you know, at this point in my life, I'm pretty glad that I'm not, because I've really enjoyed the life I've been leading. And it just seems to me that somewhere along the line, back when I said, you know, I'd like to go back to Earth, because I experienced that whole fame thing and all the problems that go with fame, because it's not a free ride for anybody who's famous. And I said, you know, I'd like to know what it was like to just be a normal guy, you know, and go through life. And I feel that's my life, this life.
All right. Well, Melissa, you asked the question. How about you?
I don't know, but I do recall having feelings of being homesick. And I couldn't name any particular home that I'd lived in that I was homesick for. So I just started to think, well, maybe it's just the other side, because I felt like maybe that's where I'm homesick for. But I don't have any specific life memories like Tom has.
Did you ever have any, Fran?
No specific memories or acknowledgments of anything. I just know that my entire life, I've always felt like I needed to be creative, to create something, yet never, I mean, I'm not an artist, I'm not a singer, I'm not a dancer, I'm not a, I mean, the closest I came was studying architecture, but that's very, that's not that creative, but that's the only thing. I mean, I can't pinpoint any previous life or anything, any crazy way that I died. I mean, if you ask me about repetitive dreams, we could get into other stuff.
Right. All right, well, let's continue this. And also, I mean, how do you think reincarnation factors in with deja vu, you know? But let's go to our break, and when we come back, we will continue this conversation and take any calls on this subject. So stay with us.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Did you know that there is an abundance of scientific evidence from well-credentialed scientists suggesting an afterlife? You now have an opportunity to learn about this evidence firsthand at Forever Family Foundation's conference in Fort Myers, Florida, November 13th and 14th. If you have suffered the loss of a loved one, or are simply curious about what happens after we die, don't miss this chance to see scientists and certified mediums share their knowledge and insights in lectures, workshops, and demonstrations, including small group medium readings. Call 631-425-7707 or visit foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
and welcome back to Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-815-9756. We're talking about reincarnation. As Tom just said, I think we all had past lives, and now we're coming back as radio talk show hosts. We were also talking a little bit before about, you know, a lot of people, sometimes they look at their immediate family and they say, well, I wonder if, you know, we're part of the soul group, you know, and other things. But that, from what I've read, they say that when you come back, it's not like with the same genetics, you know, you're on the out. You might come back as a friend or in the periphery or an acquaintance, but not like your parents or your brother or sister wouldn't be part of the soul group. I don't know.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah.
It's so hard to think of that, just to think of who we're connected with right. in this life, and then to think that each one of those individuals have other groups that they were associated with. It's so broad.
But what Rosa was making comments is that there are trends, and then history is filled with them. They call them eras, and you know, the Impressionist era, where there's a group of artists who are all of a sudden all doing Impressionist art, or there's a group, the Dada movement, or you know, there's a move, or the
Fauvism.
Yeah, Fauvism, the Iron Age, the Bronze Age, the
corrupt politician age.
We're right in the midst of that one for sure. You know, so it is feasible that a soul group that's working on the other side or communing on the other side can all of a sudden say, let's all go back and you know, see what we can do down there. And I like that. That was a good point.
Yeah. Friend, did you have a little message there?
I do have a little message here. I'm just instant messaging back and forth with Janet Mayer.
Yeah.
Mm. And
hi, Janet.
If you're listening, she's listening. But she sent an instant message where, you know, she's writing a book. Janet Mayer, by the way, for our listeners, is one of our certified mediums. She's also a research medium, and she's also a few years into writing what's going to be a really great book. And she says in this book that she's writing, she has a story where her son Matt was 3 years old, and he told them that he liked this set of parents better than the parents he had in Florida because they never used to read to him. Now, they live in Missouri, and they've never, ever been to Florida. So that's a wild story.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, I think Janet should have called to tell us about that story or whatever.
I'd like to know.
You know, she's been working on this book for a couple of years. It better be War and Peace.
And I'm curious, just to put in context, did they ever, you know, was Matt abducted when he was early? Did they swipe him from somewhere?
I work with students, and I had a student, a little girl, who's maybe about 3. And she used to tell me about her other mom and her other house, and it made her mother very nervous to hear her talk like that. But I would egg her on. You know, well, tell me, where is the other house? What color was it? It was a yellow house. I don't think she could tell me too much about where it was located, but I was fascinated by it. But it caused her mom extreme discomfort. Mm-hmm. So I didn't pursue that, but I believed. I did.
Yeah.
And I had another student who had a bracelet that her mother said to me, she says her grandmother gave her that bracelet. The grandmother had never known the child, but the child was carrying around this bracelet and insisted that grandma gave it to her. So it's too bad that the parents get so alarmed. And
yeah, that's a shame because then, you know, they kind of put the stop to it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the evidence is just so overwhelming when you have a child that never met, you know, Uncle Joe, and then he's and the family never talked about Uncle Joe, and then all of a sudden the child starts not only sometimes talking to Uncle Joe, but other times they just can describe, you know, his whole life, what he did, what he didn't do, where he lived, and you know, it's of course you could use the argument that all this information is out there, and somehow some people have the ability to extract that information.
As if that's not a good phenomenon.
Right. Well, you can use that as an explanation for everything. But, you know, we were also talking earlier about you know, as we go through life and in trying to recognize some of the things that we did wrong to improve ourselves. And it sometimes, I guess, there are subtle things. You know, people talk about signposts, you know, that, you know, you'll just, we're traveling down our roads, you know, of life, and then we'll see something and we'll start to think a little bit about it, you know. But maybe that's a signpost to keep us on track, these little things that happen to us. And, you know, in the work that we do, you know, with the foundation, we constantly see people do an about face, you know, in their lives. Usually it's after loss, you know, that they have different beliefs, they have different goals, they separate themselves from materialism, you know, so, you know, maybe that's not a subtle signpost. I mean, that's a hit you over the head signpost, but you know, maybe that's our purpose, is as we live our lives, to contemplate these little markers and readjust our lives accordingly. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that ties in with reincarnation.
You know, I know Tom's mom has barely been off this earthly plane for 24 hours, but almost immediately Tom just started to have these psychic glimpses, and maybe your mom is there guiding you. Maybe more things are going to be.
I'm pretty sure that it was.
She knew. She was so excited about the work that the Forever Family Foundation is doing. So excited about it. And in fact, earlier when I talked about her being a young soul, because Tom keeps saying it, even at 87 years old, she was such an innocent. And everything, she got the, you know, the greatest glee out of the simplest things. So we always are hearing about old souls, but we don't hear a lot about young souls.
Yeah, and what I loved, I mean, Fran mentioned to me what Madge had said, you know, and, you know, here's a woman that was, fairly immersed in traditional religion for a good part of her life, and after losing her husband, started to contemplate and was open to other things, and then once she was immersed in it, and she saw the evidence, it really made sense, and she did a little bit of an about face in her life.
Yeah.
She said something a week or two ago to the effect that
I shouldn't be saying this.
Maybe I shouldn't be saying this.
You know, she knew it was about 4 or 5 weeks ago that she got diagnosed that she had leukemia and that it was terminal, and so she knew of the imminent passing, and we had a lot of heart-to-heart talks in those few weeks that she had left, and I reminded her that through mediums and whatnot and her own experience, I said, you know, we've seen Dad around. My dad, who's passed 7 years now, and I said, you know, you're going to be there too. You're going to be reunited with him. You're going to be unencumbered by any of these physical maladies. And, you know, and from what Dad says, it's a lot of fun and it's beautiful. And she looked at me and she goes, you know, I feel a little guilty, but I got to tell you, I'm kind of excited about it.
Like she's apologizing to you.
Yeah. And,
sorry to leave you, but.
But I'll tell you again, we've talked about this many times, about how the spiritual awakening for my mom completely changed her life around when she became a widow, and she didn't want to live, and she was not enjoying life, and then knowing that there is more to come, and that Dad isn't gone and he's around, gave her a whole new lease on life. And I tell this to people who are skeptics and whatnot, and I say, you know, believe it or don't believe it, just look at the therapeutic value of it and what it did for my mom. And this is the ultimate testimony, is that she knew she was dying, and yet she went into it with a smile on her face. Mm-hmm. How many people can say that? And that's thanks to exactly what we've been talking about and what we're studying, and the spiritual path that we've taken has given such comfort to so many people, and I've seen it firsthand with my own mom, and I'm feeling it now dealing with the grief of having lost her. There's an underlying yes, there's an all-consuming sadness. So that's always going to be there. But there's an underlying joy, the joy that she is around and that she's unencumbered and that she's having a good time.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, we talk to many people who speak about ways of preparing for death. And I don't mean preparing in a material sense of getting your affairs in order, but spiritually preparing, you know, you're living your life with knowing that you're going, you know, on to, you know, to another world, and it makes a big difference, you know, in the passing. I mean, it takes away the fear, you know. Oh my God, I don't know what it's like, the fear of the unknown, and I'm losing all my attachments. But instead, as hard as it is to for many people to think of it in those terms, you're embracing, you know, death instead of avoiding it, and it helps not only for the person that's passing, but for the loved ones that surround them. You know, they're on the same wavelength. You know, a lot of things that we talked about with souls, and I wonder even if Madge ever thought about it. You know, because your father had passed, and a lot of people when you talk about reincarnating, and then you say to yourself, well, wait a second, if my husband reincarnates, then I'll never be able to communicate with him again, you know, through mediums. And the consensus of opinion on that is that that's not true, that we, just like we're composites from different, we're composite souls, and we just keep splitting, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so part, the soul of a person is still remains, and it's also within many different, you know, bodies, sort of the incarnation. So
the ultimate multitasking.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is Seth again. We're hitting on a lot of things.
Right.
Seth talked of the soul as being kind of like with tentacles, and that you are simultaneously the person you are now, but you're also simultaneously, you know, Henry VIII or something like that.
Right.
That only in our world is there time and money. In the other realm, time is meaningless because everything happens at once, basically. And so, yes, your past lives, whereas now you're thinking of them as past lives, are in reality going on right now. And again, Seth also says, you know, I can't really tell you what is going on because you physically cannot comprehend it. And that was back to Rose's comment of, you know, our brain just would explode.
Right. But the hope it gives us, I mean, I know with my own dad who, you know, was so skeptical, but he had seen the documentary that the Forever Family Foundation had made back in 2007. And I, to paraphrase Jeffrey Cain in that documentary, it really struck a chord with my dad, where he said he'd much rather believe in something than nothing.
Right.
And my dad really thought about that. And he was really a man of thought, not words. So I kept telling him, as he was looking forward to dying, that it's going to be great, Dad, because all your thoughts, all those deep thoughts about how to change the world, make it a better place, conserve energy, those are all his passions, fighting for the underdog. You can start to make a difference with your thoughts, and you'll be consulting with all these great minds. So I think he really
related to that. That made sense to him.
And I just want to, for our listeners, that piece is up on our MySpace. If you want to see it, and so is Madge.
Oh, then
Madge, giving her little view of what she understands is to come in the afterlife. They're wonderful little clips that you have up there, Tom, and I think if anybody wants to go to our MySpace or to try and find them on, they're also on YouTube.
Yes, they are.
You can listen to these things and listen to what people have learned and want to share from their own experiences.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, in talking about your dad, I mean, it sounded like, you know, he was pretty set in his ways, you know, even though he was an open thinker, you know, and it's usually, you know, if you live your life all one way, for instance, let's say that you're totally closed-minded to an afterlife and, you know, and you believe that death is the great extinguisher of all, those people usually make the most dramatic communicators from the other side, because
they're
there and they're like, whoa, you know, am I wrong? You know,
yeah,
this is great.
My dad was that person.
Right, he was coming through like gangbusters.
Wow, right away. Yeah. Right away. I hope that's true. I know it's true, but, you know, I hope those that love him and miss him know that's true, too.
Yeah, that's the key. Mm. We want everybody to know. We want everybody to know what Madge knows.
Yeah.
And the good thing is that, especially, you know, many of our listeners and the two of you are so open because you've seen the evidence that any communication you're going to pick up, you know, because you're not going to throw it off to, you know, to coincidence or to, you know, a product of your grief, because, you know, you're immersed in these concepts and you've seen the lessons, you know. So, and that's a wonderful thing, you know. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that until it's, you know, many, many years of suffering go by. You know?
Well, we were talking, Tom and I, earlier about the signs that we see, and even if people scoff at us, oh, you're always about the signs, this and signs that. But to us, anything that causes, that strikes your, gets your attention and gives you pause for thought about it, that individual, that's fantastic. So
it's valuable.
What it
that's
is.
The connection.
It made you stop and think about them. So whatever it was that got your attention.
So stop thinking, is this a sign? If you're thinking about the person, yes, it's a sign.
Well, that's the whole purpose, is to get you to, you know, for them to try to get you to think about them. And, you know, so in that they can make these so-called, you know, signs happen.
And that's about keeping their memories alive. I mean, they want to remain a part of what we're doing here.
Yeah.
And they want to help you when you need help. They want to make decisions with you. They want to
enjoy. They might take the offense
of
that when you say keep their memories alive, because they're saying, hey, wait, what do you mean my memories? I'm alive.
And I also think that we're helping them on the other side move on, because the difference they made in our lives and that we're still reflecting on them, and it made such a difference to us, helps them grow on the other side.
Yeah,
and they're, and it's helping them move on. And in return, they're able to help us here. So I think it's a win-win.
I think Tom's got it. That's the word love. It's
love.
The love. And the minute you get that sign, it reignites that love, that attachment to that person. And that's what makes
that love is
the big world go round.
Yeah.
It's the only reality. That love
I'm
is
so
the only reality.
How do we stand on time? Are we?
I'm asking, but
well, you know, I mean, one thing that you mentioned earlier, Tom, and that, you know, about regardless of the fact of whether you believe in an afterlife or not, you know, just thinking about it, you know, you can help, and that's what all these medical practitioners now are starting to realize, that there may be some of them are not so concerned and they don't contemplate whether there's another world or not, but they see the dramatic effects in their patients, and that's what interests them.
Yeah.
You know, so now through things like near-death experiences and shared death experiences and all these outer bodies that they're witnessing, I think that the tables are going to start to turn, and not only are they going to be interested in the effects it has on the patients, but they're going to want to know for their own selves whether this stuff is really true.
Yeah.
And they're starting to find out. Look at how many, in the last, you know, couple of years, how many medical doctors are doing research and writing books about all of these experiences, you know, with patients. You know, they've kept it in for so long. They refuse to talk about it to their colleagues. They refuse to talk about it to their own families in a lot of places, you know. That's why you have so many neurotic doctors that hold all this stuff in front.
And how about this new film coming out at the end of October?
Oh,
hereafter, finally. Something that's not, hopefully, not Hollywoodized.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure from Clint Eastwood you're going to get a great film.
Maybe Bob can interview him here on the radio.
I mailed him a letter, but he hasn't done for shot the
episode. Clint, listening.
Doesn't he know, you know, about the power of signs of life?
That's right. Come on, we'll boost your box office. 20 tickets right here.
Yeah, I am anxious to see that. Well, that's bringing us to the close of another show. I know that Fran likes to end these shows with her prayer for the ocean.
For the Gulf?
And the Gulf.
And any other big corporate oil company that wants to mess up the world. Now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures in Mexico Gulf by praying like this. To the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, planktons, corals, algae, and all creatures in our Gulf of Mexico. I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you.
Right. And to Madge and to Jim, we would like to tell you that we know that our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.
Can you imagine?